Psalm 31 verses 9 to 24. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted from grief, my soul and my body also. For my life is spent with sorrow and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity and my bones waste away. Because of all my adversaries, I have become a reproach, especially to my neighbors, and an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I have been forgotten like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel. For I hear the whispering of many, terror on every side, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from my persecutors. Make your face shine on your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. O Lord, let me not be put to shame, for I call upon you. Let the wicked be put to shame. Let them go silently to Sheol. Let the lying lips be mute, which speak insolently against the righteous in pride and contempt. Oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, and worked for those who take refuge in you, in the sight of the children of mankind. In the cover of your presence you hide them from the plots of men. You store them in your shelter from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has wondrously shown his steadfast love to me when I was in a besieged city. I had said in my alarm, I am cut off from your sight. But you heard the voice of my pleas for mercy when I cried to you for help. Love the Lord, all you his saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but abundantly repays the one who acts in pride. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. Now, earlier in our study, we said that Psalm 31 is one of the psalms that David had written in his exile. And the background of this exile is found in 2 Samuel, chapters 15, right up to chapter 18, chapter 15 to 18 of 2 Samuel. When David had to flee from his son Absalom, that's the background. Absalom had led a rebellious campaign against his father David, and even Ahithophel, who was David's wisest counselor, deserted King David and followed Absalom. And out of all these traumatic experiences, David learned some valuable lessons, and he shares that with us, and we can learn much from these lessons. Now, what are these lessons? Number one, when the hands of evil are against us, God's hand is adequate for us. God's hand is adequate for us. Verses 1 to 8. Number two, when facing slander that causes pain, we can draw close to God's heart. Verses 9 to 18. And we can ask for his mercy. Number three, when others see the victory that God gives us, we give God the glory. Verses 19 to 24. Now, we looked at verses 1 to 8 last time. During his exile, David discovered that God's hand was all that he needed. God's hand was adequate for every need of every day. And now today we'll move on to the remaining verses in the psalm. When facing slander that causes pain, we can draw close to God's heart. Verses 9 to 18. Now in verse 4, David had prayed, you are my strength. Psalm 31 verse 4. I'm reading from the King James Version. Psalm 31 verse 4. Pull me out of the net that they had laid privily for me. For thou art my strength. For thou art my strength. But now David says, you are my God. In verse 4 he said, you are my strength. And here he's saying, you are my God. Psalm 31 verse 14, "But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God." Then David pleads for mercy. He pleads for mercy. In verse 16, Psalm 31 verse 16, "Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake." In verses 9 and 10, he says, "Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted from grief, my soul and my body also. For my life is spent with sorrow, and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones waste away." You see, David is filled with grief. He's sighing. His physical strength is failing. His very bones are weakening. His soul and inner being was in pain because of the troubles others were causing. And verse 10, he says, "My strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones waste away." He must have let God examine his heart. Remember Psalm 139, which says, "Search me, O God, know my heart, try me and know my thoughts, see if there be any wicked way in me, cleanse me and lead me in the way that is everlasting." Now he must have let God search his heart and show him his sin. So he confessed his iniquity to the Lord. Now along with his physical and emotional anguish, there is this additional pain that was caused by the way that people were treating him, the kind of slander that they used against him. Psalm 31 verses 11 to 13. "Because of all my adversaries, I have become a reproach, especially to my neighbors, and an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I have been forgotten like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel. For I hear the whispering of many, terror on every side, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life." You see, his enemies were spreading malicious lies about him, and people believed them. It is difficult when people start to slander the righteous. But this was what was happening to David. This was exactly what was happening. In verse 11, "Because of all my adversaries, I've become a reproach." We can expect that from our enemies. Then he goes on to say, "especially to my neighbors." Now that hurts. And then he goes on to say, "and an object of dread to my acquaintances." That hurts even more. Then he says, "those who see me in the street flee from me." Can you imagine your neighbors and your acquaintances just running away from you? Now what was causing all this for David? You see, Absalom and his gang were lying about him. He was telling his assistants and his officers, "David said this and David said that." And they believed him. They believed all the lies that Absalom was propagating. Now David had faced this kind of malicious slander from King Saul earlier on. And now his own son was doing this to him. This gossip, this awful slander was now spreading through the nation, and David was suffering. In verse 12 it says, "I have been forgotten like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel." David wanted to be a vessel filled to overflowing, but now he was broken. He had become like a dead man who had been forgotten, and like a broken piece of pottery that had been thrown away. And verse 20 mentions the strife of tongues. The strife of tongues. Psalm 31 verse 20. "In the cover of your presence you hide them from the plots of men. You store them in your shelter from the strife of tongues." The strife of tongues was poisoning the nation and preparing the way for Absalom to take over. Verse 13 speaks about fear, terror in fact. Fear from every side. Psalm 31 verse 13. "For I hear the whispering of many, terror on every side, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life." The disruption of the government and the exile of the king brought great fear to the people, and all sorts of rumors spread throughout the land. Now, what should you do when people start slandering you? Number one, we must be sure that our life is right. In verse 10, we find David acknowledging, confessing his sin. Verse 10, for my life is spent with sorrow and my years with sighing, my strength fails because of my iniquity and my bones waste away. So he acknowledges his sin, he confesses his sin. So number one, we must be sure that our lives are right with God and that there is no sin hidden in our lives, no iniquity that we have not confessed and forsaken. Number two, we must trust the Lord. When people start slandering you, be sure that your life is right with God. And number two, trust Him. Verse 14, but I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. No matter how messed up you have been, the moment you're willing to face your sin, acknowledge it and confess it to God, you can be assured that God forgives because of the finished work of Jesus on the cross. On your behalf, He died for us. So when we stop hiding our sin and we confess it and ask the Lord to forgive us, you can be sure, we can be 100% sure that He forgives us because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. We can trust Him and receive His forgiveness. Number three. First, we must be sure that we are right with God. Number two, we must trust Him. Number three, remember that other people also have gone through such situations. You are not the one who's experiencing something unique. There are others who have gone through all this slander, other believers who have gone through slander. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it says, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. What is the way of escape? We'll come to that. When people slander you, what is the way of escape? We'll come to that. Everyone who has done something for the Lord has been slandered, ridiculed, criticized, including the perfect Son of God. Don't listen to the slander of the enemy. Listen to the word of God. What is God saying to you? What does God's word say? What is the rhema of the word? What in specific does God want to tell you? Now we must be very careful about the words that we speak. Why? Because the devil takes the negative and critical words that people speak to build cases against God's children. Proverbs 28 verse 21 tells us about the power of words. Proverbs 18 verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Remember that I said last time that the real enemy is not the person you see in front of you. The real enemy is the unseen serpent, the devil, and of course the world system and the sinful nature that we are born with, which the Bible calls the flesh. So, negative words, words that belittle a person, words of criticism and condemnation, all of that is used by the devil to destroy a person. Those words cause death rather than life. But right words, words of blessing, can be used to bless and bring life to people. As believers in Christ, we overcome the accuser. How? By the blood of Jesus and the word of our testimony. Revelation chapter 12 verse 11. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they love not their lives even unto death. Now the accuser, the serpent, the devil, he is seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8. Be sober minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Now there's a very beautiful verse, a very powerful verse, and a very important for us, a verse that we need to know in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 54 verse 17. Isaiah 54 verse 17. In that verse, we see that we have the ability to condemn tongues that speak judgment against us. We don't condemn people, but we condemn tongues, meaning we declare wrong the words that are spoken against us. Why should we do this? I'll come to that in a moment. We have power in Christ to annul the authority of those words spoken against us. That is what it means to condemn tongues that speak judgment against us. Isaiah 54 verse 17, I read from the King James Version. Isaiah 54 verse 17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. I remember the first time I came across this verse was when I was going through persecution in Bihar as a student. And this verse actually came to me through a song. And I fell in love with this verse. It's a very powerful verse. And I began to study this verse. Now let's look into this verse. Isaiah 54 verse 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. The weapon forged or formed against us, according to this verse, are the tongues that speak judgment against us. So to dismantle the weapon, we must silence the tongue. Now how do we do that? Let's study this verse. The word judgment in Isaiah 54 verse 17 is the Hebrew word mishpat. Mishpat, which means a verdict. That's what that word means. That word judgment means a verdict. So the words that the devil uses against us, of course he uses people to use those words, but the words that he actually uses against us are like verdicts that are declared in a court. And the devil, remember, the devil is an accuser. He is the accuser accusing us before God. In the book of Revelation chapter 12 verse 10 it says, and I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. So we need to stop these words from working against us in judgment. These are the two things in Isaiah 54 verse 17 that declare that we have a right to do so. Number one, this is our heritage as servants of the Lord. Isaiah 54 verse 17. Now the word heritage there in Hebrew is nakalo. Nakalo, it means something that is inherited. It also means occupancy. Now because we are children of God, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ his Son, we have an inheritance, and in fact that inheritance is already ours in Christ by virtue of new birth and by the blood of Jesus shed for us on the cross. We are sealed by his Spirit, and we are raised up and we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Never forget who you are in Christ. Your position in Christ is very important so that you can exercise the authority that God gives you. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now the word condemn in Hebrew is the word rosha. Rosha, it means to declare as wrong. So don't get me wrong, condemn does not mean condemning people, but we declare as wrong the words that they speak against us. Because of the position that we are raised to in Christ, God allows us to declare words that are spoken against us in judgment as wrong. And this is our heritage as servants of the Lord. Isaiah 54 verse 17. So we need to stop these words from working against us. And the two things in Isaiah 54 verse 17 that declare that we have a right to do so is, number one, this heritage that we have as servants of the Lord. Number two, and their righteousness is from me. Isaiah 54 verse 17. Our righteousness or right to stand before the throne of God is because of the blood of Jesus. So actually, the prophet Isaiah was seeing into the New Testament era and prophetically proclaiming the righteousness that we now have in Christ. And from this exalted position that God has placed us in Christ, we have authority to undo any and every word that is being used by the devil as weapons forged against us. But first we must confess and repent of any words that we have spoken critically of others. We are all guilty of this at some level, aren't we? So we must acknowledge where we have spoken wrong. Words that are sinful, critical, judgmental. And we must acknowledge our sin as David did and ask the Lord for forgiveness. Otherwise, the devil will resist us with our own sin. He will argue before God that we cannot be forgiven of something that we are guilty of. Number two, what others have said about us may also be true. Sometimes their words against us are based on reality. So we must acknowledge the truth in them and repent. We must ask the Lord for His cleansing blood to forgive and make us clean. Number three, after this, we can ask God to annul the words that the devil has used, his accusations and judgments to be annulled. We ask God for the efficacy of the blood of Jesus so to be applied upon our lives so that the word spoken by the enemy against us is broken, cancelled, annulled, revoked. And the devil can no longer use those words as accusations against us. Now sometimes the devil uses words spoken against us to hold us in sickness. But once the spiritual battle is won and the words of the enemy are revoked, then sickness will depart and healing will come. In Psalm 31 verse 15, David says, "My times are in your hands." Psalm 31 verse 15, "My times are in your hands. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from my persecutors." In verse 5, David had committed himself into God's hands. Verse 5, "Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God." What is David actually saying? Now David is saying, "All the affairs and details of my life are in your hands, O Lord. I simply trust you." We can trust God to bring light into darkness and truth into the sea of lies of the devil. Number three, Psalm 31 verses 19 to 24. When others see the victory that God gives us, we give God the glory. Psalm 31 verses 19 to 24. "Oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you and worked for those who take refuge in you. In the sight of the children of mankind, in the cover of your presence, you hide them from the plots of men. You store them in your shelter from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has wondrously shown his steadfast love to me when I was in a besieged city. I had said in my alarm, 'I am cut off from your sight,' but you heard the voice of my pleas for mercy when I cried to you for help. Love the Lord, all you his saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but abundantly repays the one who acts in pride. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord." Now the face of the Lord did smile upon David. In the book of Numbers, remember Numbers chapter 6 verses 22 to 27, the Aaronic blessing, the priestly blessing. Numbers 6, 22 to 27. "The Lord spoke to Moses saying, 'Speak to Aaron and his son saying, thus shall you bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them.'" The face of the Lord shone upon David. Though David was severely chastened by the Lord, The Lord did not abandon him. David knew that the Lord had laid up a supply of goodness and kindness for him. In verse 19 it says, "Oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, and worked for those who take refuge in you, in the sight of the children of mankind." In Psalm 21 in verse 3 it says, "For you meet him with rich blessings. You set a crown of fine gold upon his head." David knew the mercies of God would never fail. His steadfast love never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Throughout the entire rebellion and subversive campaign of Absalom, God had protected David from danger. David was safe, as though he was hidden in the Holy of Holies. Psalm 31 verse 20, "In the cover of your presence you hide them from the plots of men. You store them in your shelter from the strife of tongues." The Lord took care of the plots of the enemy and the lies that they spread about the king. The Lord took care of all that and revealed the truth to the people. The Lord vindicated David. God's great goodness and marvelous loving kindness was, that was all that David needed to weather the storm and survive so that he could lead the people once again. However, at one point, David may have been ready to give up. And that happens to all of us. Psalm 31 verse 22. "I had said in my alarm, I am cut off from your sight. But you heard the voice of my pleas for mercy when I cried to you for help." When the terrible experience of rebellion, of the rebellion of Absalom was over, David spoke to the people in Psalm 31 verses 23 and 24. This is what David said. "Love the Lord, all you his saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but abundantly repays the one who acts in pride. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord." David gave God the glory for delivering him. David had written about his faith in the Lord earlier on. In verse 1, right in the beginning of the psalm, he says, "In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me." In verse 6, Psalm 31, verse 6, "I hate those who pay regard to worthless idols, but I trust in the Lord." Again in verse 14, "But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God." And again in verse 19, "Oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, and worked for those who take refuge in you, in the sight of the children of mankind." Now David encouraged the people to love the Lord and to put their hope in him. You see, faith, hope, and love always go together. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. "So now, faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love." Now before we close our study in Psalm 31, let's look at verse 15 closely. Verse 15, where David says, "My times are in your hand." Psalm 31 verse 15, "My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from my persecutors." This is a marvelous declaration of faith. And David didn't write this sitting in some kind of a 5-star or 7-star hotel suite. No, he wrote it when he was being hunted by his own son, Absalom. Now in saying, "My times are in your hand," David is teaching us very important lessons. Number one, time is important. Don't forget this. Time is important. If we waste our time, we are wasting eternity. If we waste our time, we are wasting opportunity. All I can give to God is my body, my ability, and my time. So if I don't give God my time, then he cannot use my body or my ability. So time is valuable. Don't waste it. Invest. Invest your time in God's kingdom. Number two, ask yourself, who controls the available time that I have when I'm not working or doing the things that I need to do for a living, at the beginning of the day, if you would surrender to the Lord, asking Him to take control of the proceedings of the day, then even when we have interruptions during the day, He's still in control because you've handed over the day to Him. You've asked Him to take control of the proceedings of the day. And if plans change during the day, then He's still in control. And this leads to God's blessings for us. When our times are in His hand, then we can just trust Him and rest. He has blessings specially prepared for us. There's so much that He wants to bless us with. Psalm 31 verse 19. Oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you and worked for those who take refuge in you in the sight of the children of mankind. So how we use God's gift of time, that has a profound effect not only on our lives, but also on the lives of others. So it is important to surrender our time to His care. And everything that you have, of course, your gifts, your abilities, they're not yours, they're all given to you by God. You know, there's no such thing as a self-made man. You and I are what we are because of what God has given us. So the resources, the strength, the ability to do things, the gifts, all of that comes from Him. So it's important to give it back to Him and to surrender to Him. Surrender your time also to Him, which is very important. Surrender your time to His care. When we give God our time, we surrender time to His control. And He'll bless us for that. He will give us victory. And when He gives us victory, we must give Him all the glory, just like David. Shall we bow our heads in prayer?